Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
What is so funny?
Oh man, what are we doing here?
We are podcasting. It's been a while.
It's been a minute, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been a minute.
Oh my gosh.
Throw that up there.
Thanks to Joe and Sarah for stepping in, and a few others, actually. Ben and
Sammy.
Sammy K, man. We'll talk more about that a little later, though. But
yes.
For now, you have us to deal with again. Let's see how long.
Sorry, we apologize. You're having issues again already?
I can't figure it out. And like now I'm connected. I did the old school thing where I ran that long Ethernet cable I have into the wife's office, and I'm skipping everything, and I'm still having problems. So I don't know. And what's crazy is I have another machine in this office with me that's also hardwired onto the old system that I had. And I have it pinging every 30 seconds. So when this goes down, I can see if that went down, and it doesn't go down. That machine keeps going. This machine only gives me trouble when I'm streaming. And it doesn't matter what I'm streaming. If it's here through Restream, which goes through the browser, or if I'm using the Zoom client, or what else is there? There was something else I was doing that it choked on me. I can't figure it out. It was driving me bonkers.
Sorry, distracted. Padres just took the lead.
I need you to focus a little bit. Little bit. I'm the baseball fan. If I can do it, you can do it.
But I'm all decked out.
Barely see you with all the camouflage, but that's a dad joke. Thanks to our partners over at Displace for being a sponsor today. We do appreciate you. We'll talk about that later.
And thank you.
You know what I haven't done yet?
Thank the PHP Architect for also being a part of this podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, kind of. We keep saying that. So we've got so much feedback, and it's weird saying it on the show, because obviously people in the show know, because we talk about our work all the time. But we have gotten so much feedback of people saying, I didn't realize PHP Architect was doing consulting now. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, you don't listen to the show or read the magazine or any of that. So, yeah, no,
that's right. That's kind of how we make a living.
So yeah, we're consulting. We're PHP coding in
peoples.
The real world, like real, like not just our stuff. We're not just like, you know, doing our thing. We have clients with challenges and needs that we have to address all the time.
We build stuff.
And we have a great team. That's what's...
And me.
Yeah. Yeah, we keep you around every now and then. Yeah. So yeah, if you know anybody looking for some consulting work or looking for consultants, we can augment existing teams, or we can be the complete team. So feel free to reach out and reach out to us. I need to put a commercial for that. Besides that, what else?
We're terrible about promoting ourselves.
We're really terrible. It's amazing. We've stayed in business as long as we have, as bad as we are.
Speaking of promoting, we also have a conference coming up very, very soon.
Less than a freaking month, man. That just snuck up on me so fast. Oh, I don't know what to do.
Cry is what we do. It's 26 days away.
Yeah.
Not so even looking forward 4 weeks. To
seeing people. Yeah. It's going to be fun. We'll have a good time.
Not a baseball consulting company.
I would be willing to. Sure.
No problem. You really want us to lose money, don't you?
If you're wondering who we're talking to our Discord channel at discord.phparch.com. You can jump in there during the live show and be part of the show. It scrolls up on the screen here and everything. So we don't filter people, and we really should. occasionally.
Especially me over the past day or so.
Oh, man. I have been ranting lately, I tell you.
Also, we're on YouTube. I'm going to distract and continue on our opening. YouTube.com/PHPArch. Please go over. Just give us a sub and thumbs up if you don't mind. Much appreciated.
Does help, believe it or not.
We've made absolutely $0 on YouTube. Not that we're doing that much money. But
Wait, we're not?
It came up recently. One of our videos was demonetized. And I'm like, all of our videos are demonetized. We don't make any money from them. Oh, shucks. Threaten us with demonetization.
Did you see my story on that, by the way?
No, I did not. I don't even your story.
Do you know who demonetizes us?
No.
The company we pay for the music.
What?
It's them. Every time we've been demonetized, it's always been them. And I have to challenge it and say, no, I'm a paying customer of the service. Here's my ID on the service. Undemonetized. And they always pull it. Like the next day or something. But it's just like, I don't get it.
Why not reach out to the service and say, hey, stop. Like, is there a place like put our like URL or something?
There's exactly a place to put your URL. You can have up to, I think, like 5 locations. So before it was getting tight because we had Ugly, Roundtable, this one, YouTube, and Twitch. So I like maxed out the seats, but now we don't have Ugly anymore. We haven't done a Roundtable in a while. So it's not a problem. But yes, there is a location in the account that says, where is this music going to be played at? And you have to put it in. And every time. Yeah, they're super aggressive about it. And I just wish that they did a better job at keeping track of their paying customers and not harass us as much.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I didn't even know you could see that, like who copyright strike to you or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Yep, you can. And yeah, and they give you opportunities to, you know, contest it, and I always contest it. This last one I didn't even have to contest. Before I could even get in there to contest it, they had already pulled it. So,
oh really?
Yeah. Yep. It's funny. The one company we pay to play their music is always trying to stop us from playing their music. They realize what a mistake they made.
I wonder if they have an automated system that did it, and then they went and then they said, "Oh, never mind, we're wrong."
And that's what I was saying. I was like, they need better like automation where if their bot flags something, that bot should see if this URL is a good URL. Whatever.
I'm going to share the URL in Discord just to say thank you again to Sarah and Ben and Sammy for last week. I know you were on there too, although you were very quiet.
Yes, I was. I was very last minute on there for sure. It was so good. So good to see Sammy, man.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that cat in so long. But yeah, it was good. It was good to hear from everybody and hear that Sammy's into quantum computing, which if you listen to the show, I've talked about constantly. But yeah, it was exciting. Ben's doing well. You've actually been out for a while. I don't know if you know, because I know you don't listen to the show. Do you realize we have a release manager working for us now?
Yes, I do. Oh, I listened to last week's show.
Oh, did you?
That's how I knew you were quiet. Like you tried to get in a few times, but your mic seemed very low already. And
oh, really?
Because there were prominent voices, you kind of held back a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that when it was kind of announced, like Joe found out through our show? Or did he know already?
I don't know. I don't know if he knew already or not. But yeah, we'll say he found out through the show. Let's act like we were important in the community at some level. But yeah, man, I'm super excited for him. And I'm super excited for PHP Architect to have a release manager on the team. So congratulations again to Joe Ferguson. Yes. Really happy for you.
Very cool.
And is that you?
He says he knew already. Is what me?
All the notifications.
I don't hear any notifications.
Oh, you don't hear them? Oh, is it me? No, it's not me. Oh, I don't know. I just heard a bunch of notifications in the background.
Oh, you got me.
All right, cool. So what have you been up to? Where have you been?
So
you and I, this is not a bit. John and I might have spoken twice over the last 3 weeks.
Right.
Maybe three times. I don't know. So I seriously don't know. I mean, I know where they were, but right. I don't know any of the stories or anything that happened or anything.
Yeah, it seemed because it was back to back where I was out. So 2 weeks ago when I missed, my family and I were in Anaheim. We went to Disneyland for a few days for the kids' spring break. And it was interesting because we were only going to go on Wednesday. It's supposed to be go up Wednesday, come back Wednesday night. And about a week beforehand, I realized that the second day, because we had a 3-day pass, and the second day of the pass was supposed to be this past Sunday, and I wasn't going to be here. That's the second trip I was on. So I told my wife, we have to reschedule. And she was really trying to get Wednesday, Thursday at Disney 2 weeks ago. And it's a reservation system, and they were booked, but they had Friday open. So I'm like, let's just go Wednesday and Friday, but we'll stay two nights.
So I'm sorry to interrupt. I think I remember my kids telling me this. It's a reservation system to get into the park.
Right.
Yeah. Like you can't just walk up, decide you're going to the park that day, walk up, buy a ticket and go in.
That I don't know. I don't know if it's only if you have the 3-day pass or how it works. All I know is you had to have a reservation for the first park you were going to go to. And it's a park hopper. So after 11 a.m., then you could switch and go to either park.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we can make a reservation. We already had Wednesday. We added Friday. And I told my wife, let's stay on Wednesday and Thursday night and just make, you know, it's spring break. Let's make a trip of it. And man, that was the best thing ever. Having that day in between, I'm like, this is the way I'm going to do it all the time. Because one, oh my gosh, the amount of walking we did.
Oh yeah.
On Wednesday.
Yeah.
It is just insane. Had a blast. The kids loved it. Yeah. And then had Thursday as a down day. We did a couple of like things around town, nothing spectacular. And then hung out at the pool in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then got up early the next day on Friday and then went back to the park there for rope drop. So we were there super early. Had another great day. Kids were absolutely exhausted. And then we drove home because it was only an hour and 15 minutes
from
the park here. And they fell asleep on the way home. My wife was falling asleep, even though she said she wasn't. So it was a great trip. All in all. And then on
it's crazy how much
place huge.
I mean, especially when you do the park top.
Well, not just that, it's if you don't want to wait in long lines, they have the it's not fast pass, forget what it's called, but basically you can reserve a spot in the line, go do some other stuff, and then come back at a scheduled time so that you're kind of not necessarily front line, but you wait way less. And all of a sudden I'm realizing, man, we are walking across the park, go do a ride over here, walk all the way back across, do a ride over here, and then walk all the way back over here. Like, it wasn't like we were, you know, going to each ride as you went. It was back and forth and then over to the other park and doing the same thing. It was lightning lane. Thank you, Jeffrey. It was a lot of walking. It was fun. And then this past week, I missed again because I was in Reno, Nevada for a bowling tournament for the U.S. Championship, they call it. And I'm sharing a link. I think it's an open link. Anyone can see it. But I am in for singles, I am in 1,963rd place.
Well, there you go. It's
better than me. In doubles, Spencer and I did doubles. We are in 2,599th place.
Out of how many?
I don't know.
I mean,
let's say 2,605.
I was going to say, if it's like 5,000, 10,000 people, that's like not bad, man. Especially if it's 10,000, it would be like, you know, the top quarter.
Yeah, I really don't know how that works.
Yeah.
And in team, we're in 607th place.
Cool, man. I'm happy. Yeah. Happy you're back. You got a chance doing coding at all, or?
I have been. So I missed our meeting on Tuesday.
Yes, you did.
Dealing with stupid issues. I made a big change to a system, and I think I told you I was taking data from an EAV, entity attribute value system, because we're about out of big ints in the auto-generated ID column. That is
Jesus.
So on one of the tables, we're almost out of space. So it's kind of one of those things. Another consultant came in right at the time we needed this thing. And they're like, oh, let me introduce EAV into the system. And management was like, that sounds cool. Let's try it. And it's such a nightmare. So I'm like, all right.
I don't even know what it is.
So it's almost like a WordPress database in the sense that everything is split up. So you have what is called an entity, which is a thing. And because it is dynamic, you can have different types of entities. So there's an entity type. And then from there, you have attributes on the entity. So in our case, we have residential property. And then the attributes would be the square footage, number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, you know, those types of attributes on that thing. You're frozen, so I'm going to keep going. And then each one of those attributes has a type. So like number of bedrooms would be an integer. Square footage would be an integer. The subdivision would be a string. And then those get put into different tables. So an entity lives in like 10 different tables. And you have to join all those tables together to get back what you want. The nice part about it is it's super flexible. You can add new attributes easily without having to alter a table. And I said to them, we don't do that. We don't make it dynamic. We've only got a few entity types that we have to worry about. So I want to take that out, normalize it to a single table, flat structure. Searching should be faster. We don't have to join as many tables. Ideally, it'll be easier to grab that data. But in doing so, like I had a plan. I'm going to get as we insert into those tables, I will populate the new table. So that was easy enough. Then I needed to update everywhere we selected, make sure we're selecting from the right place. Then worry about when we write, we don't write to the old tables anymore. We only write to the new ones. But I didn't find all the places. And it's like every day, it's like, oh, there's this other little place that, you know, everything they come back with is less and less important. So it's like we got the majority of it. Because after doing it a couple times and having to revert, I finally said, all right, at this point, I just want to fix the issues. Like, we're not going to revert anymore. Leave it out there. Something comes up, let me know. We hop on, we fix it, move on. Yeah. And that's kind of where we're at.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. You're always learning new things, too. Had you ever worked with that before, or was that your first introduction?
So, I mean, this was put in back in 2015. So it was my first... Oh, wow. So it's been around. That's why we're almost out of integers at this point. So it's somebody put it in there. And I've been wanting to use it more in a... because it's more dynamic and you can add attributes quickly and easily. I'm like, well, we could use it this way and we could use it that way. But man, after using it for so long and getting to this point in the process, I'm like, it's a nightmare and there's no need for it. Just bring it back.
I take back everything I said.
Like, so I built the advanced search system on the site. And when it comes to searching the stuff, I end up having to join the tables dynamically because I'm joining the same table over and over again, the EAV INT table, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all the integers go in one table. But if I want to search for both square footage and number of bedrooms, I have to join that table twice. So I'm aliasing the table to say, I want to alias the integer table as this name with an ID in there. So it's unique. And it's such a pain in the ass. So I'm happy to be stripping it out and being like, nah, I don't want to use that anymore. It's got its place, but not right now.
Know what we like using, John?
What do we like using?
We like using Displace. I don't remember which one of these ads.
Thank you to our partners over at Displace Technologies.
I found the right ad. Yeah, I found the ad. You run that one, okay.
Thank you to our partners over at Displace Technologies. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displace is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without the enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let their automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control of your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech. That's displace.tech. And discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
Thank you, Displace.
This place is actually going to be at Tech. I'm really excited. I mean, Eric Mann, the person behind this place, is always at Tech. Matter of fact, he's always a speaker, I feel like. But yeah, they're going to be there. So it's going to be nice for people to be able to walk up and talk about it more and how they're using it and all that.
Come to PHP Tech and learn more.
That's right. What is this other ad? What is this one?
Building PHP applications is your passion.
Well, Scott Keckhorn, and you froze up again. Isn't that nice of you? The Code Lorix is in Discord saying, Lightning Lane is great, but it doesn't beat going with a Make-A-Wish kid, and included an awesome pic of them at Disney. Very cool. Oh, you are gone again. I had a... There he is.
I can't stand it. I can't fucking stand it.
Time for a new machine or something there, buddy.
So last week, I grabbed another machine and used it, and I had the same problem from this office.
Really?
It makes zero sense to me, my friend. And look, I'm looking at my System 76 machine. Yeah, internet's been up this whole time. I don't get what's happening here. It's so bonkers. It's so bonkers.
I've got a machine that I just wiped because we had somebody leave the company. If you wanted to use that just for this to see if that helps.
Yeah, it might be a good idea. I've been thinking about wiping this one and just seeing if it helps. Like maybe I have a bad driver or something. It's just weird that it's always when I'm streaming. It's always when I'm streaming. I don't understand. It doesn't matter if I'm hardwired. Wireless.
Somebody knows your birthday is coming up and wants me to buy you a router.
There you go. It is actually coming up, isn't it?
It is coming up quickly.
The wife's is coming up sooner than mine. I gotta actually take her. She wanted to go to the ball game of all things. I'm like, whose birthday is it? Yours or mine? Okay. I'm not gonna argue with you. Sure, we'll go to the ball game. So I'm really happy about that.
Next week.
May 1st. Yeah. Yeah, so the wife will not be joining me at Tech this year. She's very disappointed. I'm very disappointed. So we have daycare issues.
There's still time.
I know. Trust me, if we could figure it out, we would.
You can. I'm sure there's a place to board the dog nearby. It'll be okay.
We've talked about it. We have some other trips we're taking. One, we're going to be going to Pittsburgh here in a few months, and that's one we have to go as a family. Like, we're even flying the kids out, and yeah, so we're trying to find a solution for them. Like, we're it's a great dog. Like the dog herself isn't a problem. Like, she's not an aggressive dog. She doesn't tear things up. She just is a needy dog. Like, she always has to be around people. She almost always has to be touching somebody. And it sounds lovely and it sounds, you know, nice. It's not. It's like, it's too much. You know, we want to go out to dinner every now and then and not have to, you know, come home to a whining dog or have neighbors call us, "Hey, your dog's crying." I've never seen this before in a dog. Like, I've never seen a dog so codependent on a person. But that's her, I tell you.
I wonder about my pug, if she is that way. I came home last night, and I heard my dog barking out back.
Mm-hmm.
It's because before I left, I always go back and I shut the sliding glass door. I thought for sure both dogs were inside, but nope, one was inside, one was outside.
That was unusual for her. Yeah, that was unusual for her.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, man. So listen, I shared something. I should actually pull that up. Somebody was asking me the other day. They're like, "Hey, you don't post to X anymore." I'm like, yeah, you know, it's not like an intentional thing I do. I just don't have anything else to share. It's just like I'm kind of out of caring about all of this. And I every now and then I try. And this was a long post. As a matter of fact, Joe and Sarah talked about it on the show that they covered for us on. But, and you and I think we might have spoken about this a little bit. But when was this? This was actually, where's the date on this thing? April 8th. So yeah. A few weeks ago now. Wow. I didn't realize how long ago this was. So a couple weekends ago, before I got super sick, which was weird, but you know, I was really reflecting on, because John and I have had a lot of conversations about the direction of our industry and who we are going to be as developers in the upcoming years, right? Which, you know, spoiler alert, I definitely think we're still going to be needed and there'll still be developers, but I definitely see that landscape changing. And so I found myself I think that weekend, like, we had a really deep conversation about it. And you know, we had we played out like the doomsday scenarios of nobody's ever going to need a developer to, you know, my more optimistic. No, they're going to need developers more because all this AI crap is going to start, you know, blowing companies up. But I sat there and I started thinking really hard about it, because I've been probably adopting Claude Code quicker than most of the people on our team, most people I know. I'm typically like the early adopter of, you know, my little friend circles. And I've been thinking about how I had been coding for the last couple of weeks. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm really not, like, I'm still coding, but I'm not doing like a full end-to-end coding anymore. And I just felt like, I'm like, I don't know if I need PHP Storm. Like, do I need PHP Storm anymore? And this is not a jab at PHP Storm or JetBrains. I'm not encouraging people to drop JetBrains. I have always been pretty loud on the fact that if you're so dependent on a piece of software to do your job, you probably shouldn't be doing your job. Like, you should be a good enough coder where you can use other tools. With that said, and I've gotten blowback on that, and you know, everybody's wrong, I'm right, let's move on. But you know, I've been looking at, so I have always, I told myself a while back, because I realized I didn't want to be one of those Vim developers. Just use Vim. I know how irritating it is, and I've heard it, and I don't want to be that person. So I told myself years ago that I would always know another tool that I could recommend to people. But it needed to suit me. Like, it needed to be a tool I could use. I wasn't just going to go blindly and use a tool, because I wanted to use it so that I felt comfortable sharing it. In of recent years, I had been using PHP Storm almost all the time with PHP code, and only using Vim for like everything else, like shell codes and things like that. So I did want to find another tool, and I said, okay, I'm going to spend a weekend taking VS Code, getting it up to, I don't think I had even installed VS Code on this machine. So I did that. I got my Vim working. Not super happy with it, you know, like I'm missing a few of my key bindings that I'm very accustomed to having, but you know, it's doing the job. And it's come a long way since the last time I used VS Code. So VS Code being a free product, I mean, you can't really knock it that much, right? Because it's cost nothing to use, but it still felt really clunky, which is it's something I've always said about PHP Storm. It's like, it felt clunky to me, right? But I had committed to using it for like the next week. And full transparency, that lasted for about 3 or 4 days, because what I had done is I had really spent a lot of time with my Vim configuration, my NeoVim, actually, NVim. I spent a long time with that configuration because I really had let that kind of fall by its wayside, because it wasn't my daily driver anymore. I kind of was like using PHP Storm over the last couple of years. So like, I had like these little paper cuts with it that, you know, were bothering me, but I'm like, it's just not worth trying to figure out. One of the big ones for me is that at one point I had it, I'm a big tmux user, right? So all my terminal sessions are tmux sessions. And I had it where I could do my control H and L in J and K to move between my Vim splits and my tmux splits. And the system would figure out if I'm in a tmux split, I'm moving to this tmux split. If it's a Vim session, I'm moving to that Vim split. If there's
how did it know that?
There's two plugins that you have to install for it. There's a tmux plugin and there's a Vim plugin that you install for it, and then it just negotiates and figures it out. And it worked really well, but it had stopped working a while back. And you know, that happens. Like, you upgrade tmux or you upgrade, you know, NVim, and you know, something just doesn't work correctly. That was like one of those paper cuts. And then yeah, there were other little ones. I use a lot of plugins, and when you use too many plugins with Vim, there's always going to be some sort of conflict, because the ecosystem, the environment is continues to grow. Like, it's never, they don't release like, oh, here's version this, we're not changing anything, you know. I mean, they do have versions, but so I sat with Claude. I'm like, hey Claude, I'm having this problem with Vim. Can you help me? And Claude would fix it. I'm like, oh, that was nice. So I used Claude to fix a couple of them. Next thing I know, my Vim is where I wanted it, where it was before. And I forgot how good it feels just to use Vim, just to have a terminal open where my entire screen was just a terminal. And I had splits for tmux and my coding, and now Claude code. It has its own little corner of my terminal that I use. And good God, it felt so good. It was so fast. Now I remember why everything else feels clunky, because Vim is so damn fast. And being able to move around in code again with it, oh my God.
You're making me want to try it again.
Dude, I tell you, especially if you haven't done NVim yet, you should check NVim out, because that's really kind of a stepped up game.
I did for a short period of time a couple of years ago when you were talking about it. You and Grumpy were really all about it, so I fired it up a little bit. But I have so much muscle memory within PHP Storm that I live there. Granted, when I work remotely, it's Vim all the time, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still do stuff in production like a big boy.
Right, right.
But yeah, I should probably take a look again.
Yeah, it just felt like, you know how you go away on vacation and you have a great time on vacation and everything felt good and you stayed in a nice hotel and you slept well, but you come home and you lay down in your bed and you're like, oh, wait a minute, this feels better, you know? Even though it's the same old bed you just left, you know? That's exactly what it feels like. It just feels so good.
That's a great analogy. I like
it. So, yeah, check it out. See, that's the difference between you and me. I never gave up my Vim bindings, my Vim motions. I carry them around to the other tools I use. So I spent a lot of time crafting my PHP Storm so I could do the same bindings and that's what I did with VS Code. So it wasn't that hard for me to go back. I can see what you're talking about, though. And that's the other thing. If you're a Vim user, I have got to say, if your argument has been, my hands don't have to leave the keyboard, that's not so true anymore. I mean, it's still true. I'm sorry. That piece is still true. It's not so true anymore with these other tools like Storm and VS Code. Like, they have keyboard shortcuts for everything in these tools now. Like, if you really didn't want to leave your keyboard, you don't have to. I wasn't going to learn them because I already knew what mine were. But yeah, it's that argument is no longer like a very valid argument, I feel like, because if you wanted to just use your keyboard with PHP Storm, yeah, I don't know of anything you couldn't do.
No, I mean, I use my shortcuts all the time. Like, I have from almost everything, I use a keyboard shortcut, and I use their little tool to say, oh, I've done this, you know, 500 times and I didn't use a shortcut. Maybe I should learn a shortcut for that thing.
Yeah.
The productivity guide or whatever they call it in there.
Yeah. Now the warning I would put with this, and the thing that separates them from that, is these shortcuts are usually not proprietary, but specialized for that tool. So like, they don't, it's not like control copy, control paste, where it's like this universal, this is how you do it on all applications. Everybody kind of does things differently. So like, you would probably have just as much trouble moving from a PHP Storm to VS Code as you would PHP Storm to Vim, you know, because you're not used to what those key bindings are. Whereas if you most tools that I've used, including things like Obsidian, and I mean, so many tools out there, even they adhere to the Vim bindings. I'm not going to get into it, but like, a lot of times they'll say, oh yeah, just scroll up, scroll down, hit JK, JK. Well, that's a Vim binding. Like, that's, everybody kind of does that because that's the Vim binding. So like, if you can get these tools to adhere to your Vim bindings, it makes moving between tools a lot easier, a lot smoother. But don't give up. If you want to learn Vim, learn Vim. I mean, I will definitely support people who want to take that dive into it. I'm not a good person to explain. Everybody's like, well, you know, can you teach me? No, I can't. I can't anymore. Like, there was a time where I felt like I could, but like, it's all so natural to me now. I can't think about what to tell you to do. Like, I don't even know how to start anymore. So, yeah.
It's like, I just do it. It just works.
Exactly. It's like, by the time I thought about it, my fingers have already clicked the keys, and you know, I have moved on from that piece.
Right.
It's hard to explain, but it's very true. So yeah, I say all that to say, I kind of want to code more because I'm enjoying like using Vim again. and I was blown away because like Copilot, Claude Code, what's the other one? ChatGPT, all had plugins into Vim. Where now I still use, since I use Tmux, I still use a different terminal panel for those, but they have plugins where it will just open up in Vim for you.
And oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty slick. I gotta hand it to them. It's pretty slick.
I've been running Claude in a Docker sandbox, so I don't think it would work quite the same way.
You told me about that, and I you blew my mind with this, and I keep forgetting to do it. Please explain, because this is awesome.
Yeah, so Docker has a sandbox component to it, so you just do Docker sandbox something, and it runs it in a container. So it only mounts your local directory and what's under it, so it doesn't get access to your full system. So I have a alias to Claude SB. If I want to run it in sandbox, it's just Claude SB. It fires it up for me. I have to log in every time I go to a new directory, but that's not a big deal because I can log into different accounts, which is great. And then I'm less concerned, probably not rightfully so, because I'm sure there's still ways, but for the most part, I'm less concerned about Claude having access to everything on my system to do things for that one project. There are downsides, and there are times where it's like, I'm just going to run this outside of a sandbox so I can, you know, do whatever I'm trying to get done. But if I'm working on a single project at the time, it makes it pretty easy to say, hey, do this thing. It does it. It has access to all the code it needs at that point. And I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. That was brilliant. And I always forget. You helped me create the alias on my machine. I always forget to use it. Renus is actually right in Discord. You can actually use your mouse with Vim. I'm not sure why. I don't know what the benefit of that would be, but yes, it does have mouse support now. So yeah, that's actually a thing.
Yeah. As long as your terminal supports it as well, but
right.
Do at this point.
Yeah.
I think you have to actually enable it too, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Set mouse equals it. A or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man. So I say all that to say, I'm still using Claude Code though. I mean, Claude does a lot of heavy lifting for me, especially the CRUD stuff, the grind. Hey, you know, do this, create a record, update a record, delete a record, you know, read a record. Like, I don't want to keep doing that. You know, can you just make that for me? I use it a lot for that, but yeah, I'm feel like I'm getting a little too dependent on it. I think I need to pull back a little bit.
But you're not going to. It's the world we live in right now.
I definitely feel more productive, man. I mean, I will work on 2 or 3 projects at the same time now, where I could never do that before. Like, my mind wouldn't shift thoughts quick enough to be working in multiple code bases. But to now, in today's world, like, I've been rewriting phparch.com. Mm-hmm. Been working hard on that. But it doesn't take a lot of focus for me to do. I can, like, give Claude some instructions on what I wanted to do, then let it run. And then when I think about it, go back to it and say, oh, where are you at over here? And do you need more work? Or are you waiting for me to answer a question?
There are definitely pros and cons. There's sometimes the false sense of being more productive in the sense of, where is your bottleneck? Is your bottleneck just moving from coding to now your QA people, you know, the review process? Where are things happening at? And for the project I work on, it seems like it's being moved into QA, because on the other project that I'm not involved with anymore, because it's just, anyway, I'm not gonna talk about it. They now have Claude managing itself to review tickets that are open, and if it thinks it can handle it. So from what I understand, it's opening 20, 30, 40 pull requests a day of stuff. Mm-hmm. And now QA has to go through all of those and say, does this work or does it not?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That was also a big game changer for me. I think it was you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was you. Told me about subagents. And I found a video on how to best, like, set those up. And yeah, I have noticed a huge difference in the quality of code that Claude produces, because I have, like, a subagent for front end, subagent for back end, a subagent for database, QA, and you know, everybody works together and they hand it off. And eventually it gets to QA and then QA sends it back because something didn't work right. And although that's another thing I've discovered, like all these people who are like, especially non-developers, who's like, oh yeah, I can use AI now to build a website. I can't tell you how many times I have to fix, fixed AI's implementations where it's like, hey, this isn't working. I'm getting this error message. Can you look here? Did you do this? Did you do that? It's like, it is not producing perfect code, especially on the first trip around. I mean, you are still iterating and being able to read the error messages and understand how severe the error is and how impactful that error is, and understanding where to start to focus the AI to say, hey, I think you have a problem here. You know, it's over in this area somewhere here. Look. And I stand behind the fact, like, I'm embracing these early adopters of, we don't need developers anymore. We have AI, because I'm charging them a lot of money here in a couple of years. It's coming, I'm telling you.
Somebody shared something else that I kind of want to try and take advantage of. Freak over at, where is he at? Freak.dev. What's his company? Why can I not remember it? Driving me crazy.
Spotty.
Yeah. at least the package for generating Apple and Google Wallet passes.
This is interesting.
I thought about, can we use that for tech? Sorry, I know I switched gears quickly on that, but
no, it's fine. Then, I love tech.
I don't know if anyone would use it, because honestly, checking in, you just give us your name and we look it up. But I think we can also use the QR code from your email, and if you can just add it to your wallet, so you have easy access to it.
Oh my God! And have people tap in.
I don't know if they'd be able to tap, but they'd have in their wallet, so it's easier access. Although while waiting in line, you can pull up your email and you have it there anyway. So it's kind of a little silly, but
I like the tap idea. So we have, if you're listening, you were listening earlier. I saw you comment in our Discord. I won't call you out. I won't out you here, but if you want to claim it, I would be happy to support you. We had a listener who has offered to try to write a attendees app. So we had talked about doing it, and then we had some turnover with our development team, mobile development team, and just the Chris Miller had actually stepped into the mobile developer role, and he has just been playing catch up on a lot of things while still working on his PHP projects. So he's overloaded. I feel, bad even asking him to work on more stuff. And I did have to ask him to work on the vendor app for PHP Tech, because we have to have that. But they have offered to create a attendees app. It's not what we talked about. It's not that involved. They asked me if I would like something like that. Yep. Yeah. Holly. Holly is the one that offered. Holly does mobile development. And when she asked me, I gave her like, oh, if you could just do this, and gave her a couple of parameters. And she's like, yeah. She's like, can you give me a JSON feed of like the talks? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could. And with Session Eyes, you just go in there and you create it. I'm like, Here you go. So she's gonna see. I mean, there's like, again, we're talking less than a couple of weeks, so there's not a lot of time, but she's offered to try to put something together. I'm kind of really excited to see what she does.
Interesting. Be exciting to see that.
Oh yeah, I understand. Yeah, she's like, because of the short timeline, it won't be native PHP. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that would have been cool. We talked about that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been cool. But yeah, I get it. You whatever you're comfortable in, it can produce quickly. So yeah, so fingers crossed. Maybe we'll have an attendees app and see what happens.
Cool. Need to talk to you more about it offline. I want to know more.
Yeah. Besides that, I don't know, man. I just my brain is so locked in on tech right now. It's like I have such a hard time of thinking of other stuff, and yeah, so locked in on tech.
I know. So like all stress. There's
not the stress.
There's probably still so much that we should be doing that we haven't done yet, but yeah. it always feels that way. maybe tomorrow we get together and we go through our list of things, because it's been a while since we looked at that, especially with me being out of town.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea that we do that. I like that idea.
All right.
Okay, so one more thing, since we're talking about Holly, I was trying to stall because I wanted to download the picture. How do you download from? Can you not download a picture from this place? Yeah, from Discord. I got it. All right, I gotta share this. So Holly has also been helping us with our equipment, and watching, taking care of the equipment between conferences. And she's had it parked at this location, this undisclosed location, for basically the entire year. Right. And she reached out to me and said, "Hey, I think we need to change the tires on
the trailer." Told us that May last year during the conference.
Yeah.
And decided to go ahead and get it done, which we appreciate tremendously.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm like, go ahead and take it in, and obviously we'll pay for it and all that. And she goes and she does it. And when I guess that same day, while she's doing it, it starts raining. It starts like this record crazy rain happens. And by the time she gets back, let me make sure there's no identifying like signs here or anything. Yeah. By the time she gets back to where the trailer was parked, this is what why is this? She had this tab. This is what she saw. This is where the trailer used to be. Like this would have been, it would have been underwater. Our trailer would have been underwater. So it's like, fortunately she just happened to take it in to get tires that day. And it's crazy, man. We were so lucky. That's always been like the biggest thing with John and I. It's like we are so close. Before when Champ, if you recall, when Champ had it, where he had it, they had a fire right next to the trailer. It's like God is trying to take this trailer out, John. Next, it's just going to send a bunch of locusts after it. It's like, I'm just trying to help humanity here. Stop.
Oh, after this year, we could just sell it all, right? No. Yeah.
All right.
I'm so thankful that it survived and we have our equipment, because that would suck.
That so would if you not see, be fun. If you see Holly at the conference, thank her for babysitting the trailer, and if we get this mobile app, thank her for the mobile app, or at least thank her for trying. So
yeah. I saw that JetBrains is doing a little thing. Have you seen this PHP verse 2026?
I heard about it. Yeah.
So I like it, but I'm also annoyed because it's bringing the PHP community together, which is what we always say we're doing with PHP Tech.
Right.
But we want to do it in person, because that's how you really get to meet people. When you go to an online event, you're not meeting anybody. You're not getting together and you're not socializing. You're not getting, I don't know. So I got a little bit annoyed by that, but I can also appreciate what they're trying to do. And it's basically like a 1 day conference or learning about like the PHP Foundation and a few other things.
I obviously haven't looked into this, but I will say, here it is right here. See, this is it. Like this is one of the rare times that it sucks to live on the West Coast. Like they're starting at 7 a.m. Eastern time. 7 a.m. It's 4 o'clock in the morning here. I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch you guys talk about, the PHP verse. I'm sorry. I love PHP, but But, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe if we were invited on the panel, I'm just saying, somebody invited us on the panel, maybe. Never get invited.
Being MCs are going to be Brent and Nuno, which will be fun. Both much better podcasters than we are.
We're these partners. Like, what the hell? I don't see any of these partners on. Oh, actually, I do. These guys are actually a partner on tech. So yep. Thank you, Packagist. Somebody likes us. So yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you. It's like another virtual event, and it's not even like they're not done well. Like, they're done well, but like, I just don't. When I go to a conference, I tell my clients, hey, I'm at a conference. So they have this expectation of, you know, we can reach out to Eric, but he might not respond right away. If I'm here, you're not getting my full attention watching a virtual talk. And heaven forbid, if I see something rolling through Slack that looks like an issue, you know, I'm already off it, you know? So, Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. And I get why they do it. And I understand the point, but it's definitely not the same. That's what I'm. Here's the thing. I would be more inclined to praise this a little bit more if I felt like they were trying to get people out to user groups again in real life, like physically go to a user group or go to an in-person conference, or if I felt like they were trying to promote and encourage what we used to have, where you'd go meet new developers and talk about new ideas and just, you know, discuss problems you're having and solutions you're having. If they were doing something that made me feel like they were supporting that, but I don't feel like they are. And yeah, I just, if you want to do this, do it. I won't tell you not to do it. These are good people. JetBrains, obviously. A lot of good people in here. Nuno, friend of the show, been on the show before. But yeah, it's just another virtual conference. I mean, you can buy a ticket to PHP Tech TV and watch tech virtually if you want. We're not knocking it. We understand there's a need for it, but I'm a grumpy old man when it comes to this shit, John.
Yes, you are. I don't blame you, though. I am, too. Only because I know what it takes to put on an event. And
that's the other
best. We're really trying to get people together to hang out, to learn from each other.
Like, yeah.
You learn from going to the talks and what they're presenting, but you also learn from the other people you're just chatting with.
Yeah.
And you walk up to a circle of people talking, you hear what they're talking about, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. And then you learn something. Kind of like we were just talking about on the show, like the EAV stuff. I might be talking about that with people. You walk up and you learn more that way.
Yeah. I've always said, like, as I've gotten older, like, my circle of friends, which is very small, are all PHP people, but they're not only PHP people, the PHP people I met at an event. Even like Jake Bennett, he's the one that blows me away the most. Jake Bennett, big in the Laravel community, nicest guy in the community, hands down. There's very few people who get to the level of good, nice guy as Jake Bennett. I met him and a lot of people in the Laravel community on a complete fluke. I'd gone to my first Laracon in Louisville. Marcus Moore, friend of the show and ex Diego Dev employee. He's like, hey, you know, this guy on Twitter, Jake Bennett, he's going to host a dinner. Like, anybody who wants to come can just come. Why don't you come? I'm like, yeah, I'm not, you know, John knows this about me. I don't meet people. I'm not a person, people. I've been told I got a rusting, angry face, and I get that. And I'm not bad. Like, I'm not mean. I'm a nice person. I'm just not good at it. I'm just not good at meeting people. But Marcus is very convincing. And I'm like, all right, I'll go. And it was Jake Bennett. And like I said, a few other people from the Laravel community. I think J-Mac might have been there. I know Michael Dorinda was running late. Everybody was talking about Michael Dorinda. But I got to meet Jake, and I thought that was it. Right? I thought it was like a one-and-done thing. Like, I'd never see this guy again. And then just over the years, you know, we'd keep running into each other, and then he, you know, he'd remember me and see me, and I couldn't imagine making the friends I made. Not that Jake considers me a friend, but I do him. Making the friends I made if I didn't do this, if I didn't go to these conferences and talk. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Davis in our Discord is one of them. You know, he was listening to our previous show, but he came to Tech 1 year. We got to meet actually before he came to Tech. I think it was before he came to Tech. Yeah. He came to San Diego. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to be in San Diego. Did you want to get together and, you know, have a drink?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And we'd go meet. And I mean, it's just like it was a different world, man. And I don't know. I want to see more organizations promoting this. Not only JetBrains, not only them. I want to see companies seeing the benefit of sending their developers to in-person events or promoting user groups. John and I have tried to get our local user groups spun up again a couple times now. Mm-hmm. And it's a struggle. It's a super hard struggle. And eventually we just kind of, yeah, after 6 or 7 months of only 3 people showing up, you're like, all right, I got too much going on. I can't keep doing this, you know? And it's just frustrating to me.
Yeah. Well, the last one we had, just the space was an issue.
And space was an issue for sure. Yeah.
Because the people that were hosting us didn't really control the space, even mm-hmm. though it was theirs. It was just weird. So we ended up with drum circles next to us, and the room that we would use was taken over by CPR people. So then we had to move somewhere else. And then the following month, when we had it all scheduled, we tried to find another venue, and there was overlap. And it's just, like you said, it's hard to keep it going.
Yeah.
For one or two people.
Yeah. And I mean, in-person user groups are dropping like flies. Every couple of weeks I get a notification on Meetup. Hey, you know, if this user group doesn't have an organizer anymore, if one doesn't come, you know, we're going to take you off of Meetup.
Yeah. That reminds me, we should probably cancel ours because they keep raising the price and we're not using it. It's like every year they jack the price up more for what.
I don't think they don't offer the service they used to offer. Like first thing, like, I don't know if you've been to Meetup lately, but like ads everywhere. Like, you can't do anything with an ad. And then everything you click on, they're like, "Oh, hey, you have to upgrade." Like, you probably don't see it because you've already upgraded as a organizer. But it's like, "Oh, you have to upgrade to see this." It's like, what? It's like, no, what? You're supposed to be promoting community. I should be able to send a message to somebody in Meetup. Like, that's what you do. But yeah, I've already decided, like, I told you I'm working on a rebuild of PHP Arch, and I think, you know, that's going to be included. Like, if we ever start a meetup again, we're just going to manage it through the website and come up with, you know, something simple.
Right.
Just
right.
Time, place, you know, description. So, yeah.
All right. Last thing I want to touch on. I know people that seem to know security better than I do use Bitwarden instead of 1Password or LastPass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there was a huge Trojan horse built into the most recent CLI.
What?
Yeah. This is a Trojanized Bitwarden CLI package. So 2026.4.0 masquerades as a legitimate Bitwarden, but it replaces the binary and basically, I think, offers a backdoor onto the system.
Oh, that is nasty.
Yeah.
That is very nasty.
Oh man, which that's... it's a cloud developer credential stealer. Nice. So if you're a Bitwarden person, make sure you didn't auto-upgrade to this version.
I'm seeing some JS files reference here. I wonder if this has to do with that supply chain latest NPM.
I think it's just another one of those. Like, yeah. That's a good question. That's my assumption.
That's crazy. Yeah, because like when you said that, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. It's not a service. It's something you're just running on your machine. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. That's used to be how things got happened. We were like applications running on your machine.
Yeah. So this is they're saying the legitimate Bitwarden CLI does not use a pre-install hook and does not require this bun runtime.
Mm.
But the bad version does.
Oh, interesting.
And that, I think that pre-install hook is the big issue with NPM right now, where it's like allowing things to run that shouldn't be.
That is crazy. Holy smokes, man. I know I've been watching a lot of the security. Just today, as a matter of fact, I watched a video about all the security issues that OpenClaw has been fighting. And I'm just like, oh, goddamn. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to find a home for my OpenClaw since my last machine kind of bit the dust. But yeah, it's going to be the new. And again, we're professionals; like, we know what to look for. You know, when you get these people who don't need employees anymore because they have AI start to use this stuff, this is just going to be more of a problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's already hard enough to spot as professionals, let alone the just let Claude do all the code, open up a pull request, and be done, which is happening more and more. It's scary. Yeah. Very scary.
In something like this, Bitwarden, I would have never thought. If I were using this and it did do the, oh, hey, you need to have the bun runtime now, I would have just been like, oh, all right, whatever. You know, this is Bitwarden, you know. I wouldn't have thought twice of it. I would have just done it.
Yeah.
Eric Mann messed me up with that, with his article on that curl install command. Mm-hmm. Messed me up hard on that one. Because they're still all over the place. And I'm like, I can't do it.
Nope. I've started. When I see that, I exec it out to it or redirect it out to a shell script and then run the shell script separately.
Yep.
Versus the other way.
And I'm ridiculous. Getting that way. So even on my Linux machines, if you're a Mac user, you probably know about or accustomed to Brew, which is like the software manager you can run. It's open source, I'm pretty sure. There's the App Store. Obviously, Apple has the App Store. But Brew makes it really easy to install a lot of Linux commands on your Mac. Well, Brew also runs on Linux. And I actually use that more than I reach for apt-get, because it installs it local to that user. So you're not, everything installed isn't being installed into the system. It's just like, if I install, you know, bat, it just installs it for that user. Then if you have an account on the system and you want that program, you have to use Brew as well. But so I really like Brew. It's very easy to just do a Brew upgrade and upgrade everything, but it's kind of the same thing, right? It's like, I'm just typing in command. This is sitting out in some repo somewhere, pulling in and installing. I'm just hoping everything, you know, end to end is good, you know?
Yep. And you don't know if that's been compromised at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all, can all be compromised. I mean, it, yeah. Nobody can escape it.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. I got baseball to go to.
You got baseball to go to. You and me got a baseball game next week, and then I got a baseball game with the wife. I got a lot of baseball in my future. I'm looking forward to it. So
season's just kicking off.
It's just kicking off. All right. That's going to be it for the show. Happy to be back. Happy everybody hung out with us. And see you next week, John. I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, just making sure.
Now you have me questioning, but yeah. I'm good. I think I'm good until tech.
You're good until tech.
Which isn't that far away.
That's only like two or three shows, man. So yeah, that's not great.
No.
All right, see you guys next week. Bye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect.
the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.